All righty, good evening, everybody. Welcome to Monday Night Big Footy Tiger Cast. Hope you're all doing well for this very, very special show. Tiggs will be on. Don't freak out. We haven't stitched you up. He's just changing computers ever so quickly to get onto his $9,000 PC. So he is going to be on. But, we thought we would just kickstart it with the three of us. He did check in on a laptop earlier. We thought we would get things underway. Grop, welcome back. How are you, mate?
Yeah, going well. Going well. Glad to be back after a couple of weeks off. Just life in general, I guess. I fell asleep last week and passed out smooth after work, so I missed that with you and Carl. But no, great. Good to be back.
Can you just lean down ever so slightly?
Thank you.
CB, welcome back, mate. How you been?
Yeah, good. Thanks, mate. Good. Thank you to everyone who filled in for the last couple of weeks to give us a chop out. And like I said, really appreciate everyone reaching out and things like that. So, yeah, good times.
Very good. Very good times.
Talk about, apparently.
Yeah, a little bit to talk about. So, like I alluded to, I was going to go with your pearly whites being the talking point, but I think there's some pressing issues at hand. Good to see that our wardrobe has not gone unnoticed in chat. Oh, dear. But basically, as soon as Teeks jumps back on, he can take the floor because he's probably got 10, 15 minutes in him with how he's going with his recovery stuff, and then we'll let him do what he's got to do. And then other than that, we will crack on with it. But it's been a really interesting day, I suppose, without spoiling the rest of the show, but with what has been, I suppose, now absorbed by the mainstream media. It's only taken a few years to catch up, but... I didn't want to go delve too deep, but Tiggs is here. Here we go. The man himself, Tiggs, back on board. How are you, mate? What's going on?
Oh, guys, fucking hell. Yeah, look, I'm getting there. I have they detected a bleed. This is how comical this shit is. All right, it can only happen to me. You know how I said to you months ago that with the nature of the bruising, that it's rare that you don't have a melanoma before it, like bleeding? Anyway, my GP, probably not his fault, but anyway, he asked me to do an MRI scan for the brain, but he didn't do the right one. So when the neurologist I saw didn't pick up on it till about 2 months ago, 3 months ago when I got off the show, because that's when he realized I had the wrong scan and he got me to have the right scan and it shows the trace line of a bleed. So I was very lucky. That worst damage didn't happen. Oh, shit, are we live or private?
Yeah, no, we're live.
Well, you know, anyway, yeah, but fast forward.
Yeah, we all sit around with tinfoil hats in our spare time. That's what we do.
Anyway, too much info. But, yeah, fast forward. It's, you want to talk about computer, $9,000 computer? Have a look at these ones, lads. I just got one to cheer myself up as I rehab. Can you see that, babe?
Jesus.
It's I don't know how I'm doing this properly.
Yeah, a lot of RGBs there. I like it.
That's a 4090, mate, in there as well. Oof. So
The adult entertainment industry's never looked better, Tiggs.
Mate, funny enough,
Be careful.
One of my rehab to get me used to the computer again and get my brain thinking and all that other stuff to make new pathways. I recommended a game called World of Tanks. So I'm actually playing it. So if anyone's playing it, Tiger71BF, that's my handle. Just, you know, give me a yell, shout out and hop on with me. I love to shoot. But I'm right into it. I'm actually right into it. But yeah, no, but I'm getting there. The only reason I haven't done the shows is because if I have to think too much, it triggers and my neuro said not to call them headaches. They're called attacks. So, but they're lessening, which is great. And I actually feel a lot better. Every week is like I'm feeling 100% better. So I think I'm now getting out of the bottom of the curve and I'm going up. It's just the light sensitivity is still a bit of an issue and sound. And I do this. I ramble like turbo speech. It's to stop me pausing all the time. But anyway, I'm good. But the game. But I wanted to be focused. Slam bang here, the great news I heard, all the rock solid news. That's not bullshit. That's not media make up a story like a John Ralph by reading the tea leaves and all this sort of stuff. That really is just going off what he's read off articles. Something that I heard that has genuine substance that I know will break. And when it breaks, you've heard it here first again. Do you want me to get right into that? And then can I talk a little bit about the Freo game and then I'll exit, if that's all right?
Yeah, you do what you can do, my friend. So I think everyone's hanging out for your news and we're just the eye candy at the moment. So
yeah, again, sorry about the beginning. I really did think we weren't live. That's why we're
No, that's all right.
How embarrassment. But anyway, as you all know, I get info from really solid people within the industry. I'm not going any further than that, but everything they tell me, that's why I'm so bloody accurate. Like, the deals might not happen, but they always come up that they're there. I wanted to clarify what I've heard about Baker, and I've drilled into this. God knows I've had time. And what's been great, shout, I wish I could name them because it means a world. My mates too, means, and you blokes too, but reaching out when I'm just to touch base to see how I'm going and all that. I've shown that I'm loved, so I really appreciate that, but I'm not going to get all soppy. Baker first, and I know this is rock solid. People saying he's gone, he's leaving, that's it, he's already been done, deal done. That's all lies. That's all lies. What I heard, which I believe 100%, is that he does win. It's already common knowledge. Last contract I think he did later in the year. What he wanted to do was, the reason he hasn't signed right now and all that, there's too much in the works at Richmond. He's committed to the club. He's committed to the rebuild. He's got these, and I didn't know this beforehand, but apparently there's a couple of young players that he's really taken under his wing, that he wants to see develop in their career, and he believes he can have a strong part of that. He's quickly evolving to our Cochin type within the young brigade. So, yeah, is it 100% he's staying? I don't know. I'm not Liam Baker. But all I can tell you is that he's fully committed to the club. He loves the coach. Loves the coach. Loves all the players around him. So I'm really solid. I'm really locked in that he'll stay. But it won't be done towards the end of the year. I reckon towards near finals time is when you'll probably, if it happens early in the next right, but towards finals time is when it'll get done. Because there's a lot of list management that has to be done, and he's already knows where he's going to sit. But there's a few deals, and this will make more sense as I go on with my news that I've got with players and stuff. So the club doesn't need to lock him in yet because they're really calm. Now, the only thing I heard was if someone was stupid enough to offer him two first rounders or like a top four or top three or top two, we would not shoo him out of the club. But if, say, West Coast or Freo did that, and at that stage says, look, this is actually going to help you more than me being here. That's the only way I could see him being trading, but I doubt that will happen. I think he's staying. I think he's going to be a lock. I reckon he'll be signed for like 5 years or something like that, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years or whatever it is. But, yeah, so rest your mind at ease. He's not gone. Anyone that's telling is 100% a lock to go. That house he's got at WA, a lot of players have houses in interstate. Doesn't mean they're all going there to move. Daniel Rioli, that was nothing on Queensland. That was just an airport stop. He was on holidays. Newsflash, Daniel Hardwick is like a dad to him, a really close friend to him. He just happens to work somewhere else. That's all it was. He's also locked away on Cochin as well. Now I'm glad you brought that up, Paul. I sort of said this way back. Dusty will see out his contract at Richmond. This is how I read the tea leaves, and I've yet to be wrong. And then he'll sign one-year deals with Richmond. I think Adam, funny enough, was trying to push a two-year, then go on to the one-year. But there is a chance he might just pull the pin. He won't be going to another club. This is the other reason why I'm really solid on Baker. He, being a one-club player, is really important to Dusty. I reckon he'll go on again. He's loving his football. He's loving the club. He's loving the challenge to get the – if you see him on the ground, even like on Sunday, he was instructing, he was, you know, guiding the players. But he decided, I reckon, then to take a step up and actually, instead of stepping back to let the players learn by doing, he said, no, I'm going to do a bit to get us on a good footing, particularly in the first quarter. So I reckon he'll sign again for another year, but he might pull the pin, but he won't be going anywhere else. But I reckon there's going to be year-on-year contracts. Now, the news, other news, which hit me from left field a little bit, so I've got to have my coffee with whiskey. No, there's no whiskey in it, Doc, so don't stress. North Melbourne, boys, ladies and gentlemen. Look to North Melbourne. They've come hard at the Tigers. They want a leader. They need to import some culture changes. And obviously Hardwick and Clarkson have a history. They know each other. They know what they've built. Hardwick's built at Richmond. He knows the quality of players that we have. And he's making a play. Now, the one I've heard, I'm not going to say it's going to happen. I doubt it will happen. A lot will have to happen to make it happen. But I reckon there's a few targets they've got at Richmond, so don't be surprised. The first name I heard was Dan Kervis, and it sort of – when I hear these names and then they quickly resign, it's obviously – it's gone to a point where, no, I want to stay at Richmond. I'm only – okay, let's get you done. We just told you about it. So that's why I reckon Dan Kervis has happened now. But they were looking at Dan Kervis to see if we're interested. Taranto, they've come at us and said, we'll take the contract, obviously do some magical beans, obviously entice Taranto to go to that shit truck of a club. Give us something in return that we need. Picks or players, I don't know. I don't know their list. But where I heard it from, the guy who's told me this is the one that told me about Lynch, told me before Hampson, before anyone heard about Hampson coming to Richmond. For me, take it to the bank. That will end up coming out when Taranto, like Hartlett, he told me about Hartlett, and I'll probably come out when Hartlett is given the arse from Port. What a glorious day that was. And he mentioned, oh, yeah, Richmond. And no one believed me when I mentioned Hartlett. They've come at Taranto. Prestige's the other one. I actually spoke to Michaels. So I got my mate. God, is Prestige? He goes, no, there's a group of players that they want. So he said he'll give me more as trade period starts to heat up because then it will shrink the pool. But they've actually asked for a few of their ones. The other one might be Macca, right? McIntosh as well. Good, upstanding character changes that can change the culture of a club. So North Melbourne. Richmond and North Melbourne will be doing something. I'll be gobsmacked if that doesn't happen. And you can take that. Vlosten's Richmond man. I was thinking that too. Yeah, look, there's a group of names. That they're after. I got told a few. I didn't know that Christian, but then they'll more lend to making sense of what I've heard. So, I don't want to see Taranto go. I actually think that people are knocking the Taranto hoppo stage because they have Karen Korn syndrome. They look to the now and don't look at the immediate or even the longer term. And we've just been dreadfully unlucky with injury. I reckon when these two boys have a full year together, when they're physically fit and have a full year, and then have that young brigade that's a little bit more mature to support them, I reckon we'll see the value at the end of the trade. The trade should never have happened. I never forgive hard work to give so much away, but we've got them, and I don't want us just to abandon them. I reckon they will add value to us going forward. But, thanks for confirming. I had no idea. So that even adds more weight to it, to my mind. Yeah, so they're looking at Richmond and looking at Richmond pretty hard. So watch your space. So it'll be something done between North Melbourne and Richmond. One thing I have heard, draft time. Again, this can change, but I don't think it will. We're going to go up the draft. We all know this. That's pretty common knowledge, but we're desperate for a key forward. We're going to be looking at – this is a midfielder's draft. So our two best picks will go for the best talent, so they will be midfielders. That's because the talent pool is midfielders, that's what everyone's saying. But we're really interested going for a key forward. Now, it might be a younger key forward from another club. So that may be interested in – and I don't have to – I can't look at North Melbourne's list because I get migraines. It fucking set me off. But whoever does it, it's Snake Baker. I know you listen, mate, pop in. Who's got a good quality young kid that they've got as a forward, maybe? We could look at that angle, but we're looking at key forwards and also to reinforce our back line. So it's going to be, yeah, we'll be right. We'll bounce, boys and girls. We'll bounce. But they know what they're doing. Yeah, thank you, Nick. Yeah, so they know what they're doing. But that's the target. And where I've got this information, just take it to the bank, ignore everyone else. Oh, by the way, what happened? G'day, Tom. Tom Morris followed me on Twitter. And I think they normally use an alt account and DM me, but yeah, it was good that you just came out of the question,
mate. Tiggs, is Nick Rarakis saying correct on Will Hayward, the comment just above him?
Oh, no, I thought maybe you're saying correct. Oh, actually, Nick, you answer it, mate.
So what about someone else in chat?
Going best talent with the first two picks and forward and back is where we're going to shore up.
And what about Jack Graham? Have you heard anything on that front? A few people asking me about Jack Graham.
Yeah. It's not a done deal that he's going to West Coast or wherever it is. Because people don't realise West Coast is a far distance away from Adelaide. It's further than Melbourne. He had an injury interrupted pre-season. If you feel... Look, there is a chance he might be traded. I wouldn't say he's a lock to stay at Richmond. No, Tiger. He's a lock to stay at Richmond. I'm not saying he's a lock to stay at Richmond, but I haven't heard anything concrete to go to the bank with. Like that McCluggage news, I asked the question again about it. There's nothing in it that I can... I'm not disrespecting anyone that knows more than... I'm not saying I'm not the font of all Richmond knowledge. Dragon bait particular, mate, if you're watching. I don't have like a bat phone, you know. The Adam user, I can't check with the immediate questions you have, but I appreciate them, keep them coming. But we're not... I don't think we're looking at this year. I think we went in at King hard. That hasn't happened. We're going to reload. And I'm just trying to struggle to say what I can't say. But I will end up saying as we get longer in it. But I wouldn't be surprised if we target something that we know we'll get next year. But, yeah, we'll see. But I haven't heard 100% that's happening or anything like that.
Jack Graham.
I just checked. Yeah, but it could happen. Could be traded. So I thought it was important to share the news. It really surprised. No one mentioned Richmond North.
Not that I've seen. No.
No. So journos, get onto it. See what you dig up.
It's interesting because there was an article recently about North identifying that their culture has been shot based on some movements they made. So.
Was that kind of all before we spoke or after? Because I haven't seen the article.
It might have been the day after or the day before, one of the two.
Okay.
It was very, very close. So where's my hat goes. But so there you go. Kangaroos might look to cherry pick a few players to rebuild their culture. But
yeah, I don't think they'll go one or two. I think they need quality. So you look at our list, who's quality outside of the ones that we need to keep? So, big news will be we give Vlosten to North Melbourne for a first rounder plus one of their young guns. I don't know much of their list, but they've got a young midfielder, half forward flanker midfielder that's not happy at their club. What's the name?
Hey, Tiggs.
Yeah.
Tiggs. While we not look at the Western Bulldogs.
Well, you know what's funny? Didn't I go say 2 years ago, or was the last offseason, but McRae. The one that's not getting any game. And I said to you, we were interested in him. And nothing happened. Nothing eventuated from him. They kept him. So I don't know if that's Beveridge being a Beveridge, because that's the sound about him. He's really stubborn and bullish, even if it's a detriment or someone. And now they're not playing him. I doubt that's because, he was looking at going to Richmond too. And he could have if he wanted to. But, he'll be gone. That's why I mentioned him so, because the noise was he needs to get out of that club, and Richmond came calling and asked the question. Obviously, that didn't happen. So now we're looking fast forward. This is what he's in. So he was mad not to leave when he had the opportunity. He'll get the opportunity again. I rate him. If we need someone to support Taranto Hopper, we lose Graham. We've still got the young kids, which just still aren't ready. Dow's getting there. We just need to keep on pumping games into them. They will get there. Sonsi's kicking gave me a heart on watching him. Some of his elite kicks, which is what we've been screaming out for. He needs to just be pumped games into, but we need that extra body that we can rotate in there that's quality, that's hard, that can get the inside ball, our version of a Libba, because we probably won't have pressure.
Could be McAuliffe.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if pressure either gets traded or pulls a pin by the end of the year. Yeah, I'm pretty locked on that. Presley won't be a Richmond player next year. You always be a Richmond champion. But there's something going on there. Well, I don't think we're actively shopping him, but clubs are asking. But I think his body might be shot, or his belief in his body is shot, if that makes more sense.
We've heard Presley's retiring and Grimes is retiring. That's two.
Well, that will marry up. Yeah, that will marry up, with what I've heard. Grimes is finishing near the end of the year. I've heard that'll take that to the bank. Or towards the end of the year when, the last two games of the season or whatever like that. Around about that time, he'll bail. But, get a proper send-off. all that sort of stuff. Or they might send, you know, now I'm just appalling. But yeah, there's going to be a few retirements in Richmond, and it'll be a complete changeover. But we're okay if we're just going to get a couple of these kids on the park and keep them there. That's the thing, you know? That's our, well, we all know that.
Now, I appreciate the trade news. What else you got?
Yeah. If anyone's got any questions, quickly, I'll take them and then I'll go on my little mini rant about Freo, and then I'll fuck off. That's all right.
Salary cap, Cameron, I think we'll be loaded salary cap wise.
Oh, salary cap, mate. We're going to have Dusty's big contract off the books. We've got Cochin off the books. We've got Jack off the books. We're going to have Prestia off the books. We're going to have Grimes. Mate. Yeah, it's not
Lynch's money drops as well because he was front loaded.
Yeah,
so Lynch's salary drops as well.
Was Will Phillips?
I didn't see it. Will Phillips, the kid from North. I don't know. This is my thing. I didn't write his name down. I've completely gone blank on it. I'll come back to you next time. I'm hoping to be able to do this probably every couple of weeks, and then I'll slowly work him back into it if I don't sound like I'm drunk, you know what I mean? Because I know that's what this can do when I'm on my medication. Sam Darcy, haven't heard. Joel, I'll ask the question, mate. I'll make sure I write it down because I wouldn't ask the question because I'll forget it the second we finish. Sam Darcy, all right, I'll ask.
Yeah, so Cadman and who was the other one? Someone wrote here. Cadman signed and Newell Hagen, I think, is about to sign, but he's probably the other one that I think a few clubs are chasing, but I think he's probably going to stay. Unless Beveridge drops him like he does to a lot of other players.
LDU, who's that? LDU.
Luke Davies Uniac.
What was that?
Luke Davies Uniac.
Is he okay at North?
Yeah, I assume so. He's in line for part of their leadership group. So
okay, all right. I'll confirm because my brain's telling me that's LDU. We've actually got a chance this year for him. But I want to confirm. I'm not locking it. It might be me mixing my wires up. But his name did come up. I'll follow with Sam Darcy. I'll have a check. Also, yeah, but that's what made sense, Christian, a year before he walks away. I don't know. I'll see.
Yeah. There was a question about the mid-season draft targets. It'll be a tall forward.
Yeah.
We want to sort that up. So the targets right now, from what I've heard, are Archie May, who's playing in our VFL side and competing down forward, and Will Bella, who's dominating.
Yeah, so I don't check much about. All I know is that we go best talent. So that's what I heard. Just quickly. I haven't got a tinfoil hat. Sorry, CP. I'm hardly on my computer. your thing. And to get my wife out of bed, the hat for me because I couldn't do it as artistically as you have. It's too much.
I put some effort into this.
Yeah, I can tell, mate. I can tell. And I'll be remiss to say that your skin, not to mention how good your skin looks. You look 14. You do look 14 years of age. You do. You're glowing. You're glowing. You're glowing, mate.
But it's the heat retained from the friggin' aluminium foil.
Yeah, mate.
It'll die.
I've said since midway through, correct me if I'm wrong, Michaels, but 2017, when I first started getting on the show with it, about that we're umpired differently. There's something going on with the umpires.
You know what? And I know we haven't spoken about this today or recently, but no more than 2 hours ago, I was trying to remember the exact time that you had this conversation with us.
Yeah.
Because it got shot down by
everybody,
opposition supporters, by our own supporters, probably even by us at various times. But your mantra has always been subconscious bias. Not that they're blatantly cheating, but a subconscious bias based on whatever had happened or incidents that have happened. But you did. You were the first that I remember mentioning it. Yep.
And that was in 2017. And what my justification was is that they were shown in that off-season, one we bragged about, playing the edge, Hardwick would spruik it, and how we testing the umpires. And we did all that in 17. We did all that, right? And we got away with a lot of it, right? We got away with too much. And in that off-season, Hocking's come in, and all they seen for two off-seasons. And, Tom, if you're listening, check this out with the AFL department. and particularly Dan Richardson, who now you've got the arse from Richmond, he's now the umpiring leader. I'm not doing tinfoil hat stuff, mate. I should put it on. But check, they did for two off seasons that when they showed infringements to penalise, guess the majority of the team that they showed, guess what colours they wore? Yellow and black, mate.
So you're talking about the DBD thing they show at the start of the year to all the clubs?
Yeah, over and over and over and over again, they were showing Richmond penalised. Richmond should have been penalised. Richmond should have been penalised. And they did that over and over and over and over, particularly too with illegal tackles. That's why we don't get hold on the ball. We rarely, if ever, get hold of the ball. But how many free kicks do we give for tackles? It's most of our free kicks against are tackles, if you look at it. And I mentioned that in 18, and I mentioned that again in 19. And then it's obviously become systemic. It got really bad when this corrupt organisation that we love, unfortunately, takes a bloody official from a football club in Geelong, takes him, brings him into actually changing the rules to benefit their club that he just came from, and then has no drama to let him go back to his club, right? Which is not done in professional sport, right? Because that is, but we allow it. And it's no problem. And then we have the media who's bought and paid for by the AFL say, oh, suck it up. You won three flags. Don't worry about it. But we've been putting up with this for 8 years and there's 100,000+ of us. I got to the point, I can't watch the football anymore. I just can't watch it. And look, and Benny, Brendan, Matthew, you guys listen to this podcast. Just telling you it's from a member, mate. I love this club. But I'm now at the point thinking, I want to buy a brick. Hell, I would buy four bricks, one for each of my kids. But why? What's the point? If I can't watch my team be on an equal footing to every other club. And the data backs it up. We are umpired differently. I'm not saying they're cheaters. Well, no, I'm not saying they're cheaters. I don't think they intentionally go out to do this. And I think the data, if they did intentionally went out to do that, you'll see major spikes. We don't see that. It's a common trend. I think they have this unconscious bias. They're so used to Richmond infringing that when they look at a tag, like, all right, perfect example. That Frio that got Mansell just did a slight bump, right? And then the ball spilled. And so Mansell, knowing that he's tracking the ball with his eyes, turns his body. So it was hardly a clip. And the Frio guy dived. Now, if you look at that at real time, Tom, ask the umpiring department this. How one, he didn't see it. He didn't see it. So he guessed the decision, and I reckon subconsciously he's gone, oh, another one's gone down. Yeah, the Richmond player infringed. Ping, pull it. The first 50 that they got was completely made up. Dow, when he just dropped the ball. Now, if you listen, look at it real time, there was a whistle, but then immediately after it, the siren. Anyone would have thought the whistle's for the siren. But no, they gave him 50.
Not only that, if you actually then slow the footage down, Dow looks at the umpire while the umpire has his hand in the air to signal the end of the quarter.
Yeah.
That's when he dropped the ball.
So the thing is all I'm saying is that the umpiring don't umpire Richmond the same. And it's proof in the pudding. I'm not saying there's a conspiracy. I'm just saying the way that you've trained them, this generation, this group, because you know what's funny, guys? And I laughed at this and to check it. I actually went back. I've got all the videos, right? I've got back from video days, but I've got, and obviously I'm streaming. One of the umpires that are in age group, they're generally quite fair. They screw Richmond, but they don't screw Richmond like this group that's gone through. But yeah.
You mean O'Gorman?
Yeah, Gorman, you know, that number 13 that was out there, that was absolutely just, it was unhinged, some of the phrase he was given. And I think the Richmond people, I don't want to speak for everyone, but my opinion is, I'm not complaining about the free kicks we give away. I'm not complaining. I'm complaining what doesn't get paid. And what I'm complaining about is the technical nature of the free kicks that we give away. You don't apply it to the opposition. And the perfect example of that, I wish I had clipped it. And I tweeted about it. There was an incident on the wing, on the fat side of the ground, Brayshaw. He grabs the ball. He balks a Richmond player, gets caught. He realises his arm's pinned, so he throws the ball. The ball bounces at the foot of, he doesn't get pinned. This is all in front of the umpire. The umpire doesn't call holding the ball, doesn't call a throw. The ball spills. Another free-up player picks it up. Bork's the Richmond player, gets caught, drops the ball, doesn't get pinged. The Richmond player then, and then the other Freer player who picks up then that loose ball, gets caught. Richmond's infringed for a legal tackle. And then it goes down the ground and they get advantage, goes down the ground, they score a goal. That happened about 8-9 times during that game where we were attacking, so we're out of position. A lot of the young kids are still going to learn or have the tank to, when they're in, going offensive, switch to defense. So we got caught out a lot. Yeah, that's all I wanted to say. That's what my problem is that we're not umpired to say. Period.
And like we always say, this is never, ever about determining the outcome of the game, because there's plenty of things we can do as a team much, much better to get the results. So it's never the cause of a loss. Never, ever. And the only argument people have against this is, well, you play on the edge. Yeah. It's like, okay, even if we did play on the edge, are people trying to say that GWS don't play on the edge? Collingwood don't play on the edge? Geelong, Sydney, all these top six sides, are we all trying to say that they don't play on that same edge? If anything, they're playing the game harder than we are currently, really, if you're looking at pound for pound, game for game. And, you know, if you read out some of these numbers here, in terms of averages for our last couple of games. So we played Melbourne on, obviously, Anzac Eve. Their free kick against count prior to the Geelong game they just played. So Melbourne gave away 20 frees, 20, 24, 20, 15, 21. So they averaged 20 frees against for the season thus far. Versus Richmond, 12. Fremantle, the frees against they've had this season so far, 21, 16, 19, 12, 23, 16, 18, an average of 17.8. Versus Richmond, 11. It's just Roxman's numbers, as I think Jonesy put, they stack up, and now the mainstream media is finally catching on to it. Robbo's said something about it. Even WA commentators on the weekend were like, what the hell is going on? Brad Johnson, who we know notoriously does not like us one little bit, even said this, something's not right here. So it's starting to become more evident for a lot more people.
I'll raise you a couple of points, Michaels. So we know the AFL.
All right, Murray, thank you so much for jumping on, mate. We appreciate your time.
My son, I'll get on YouTube and I'll watch you guys. So
you do that,
thank
mate.
You so much.
You're a superstar, buddy. Love you, brother. Appreciate you jumping on. Yeah. Much love.
See ya.
See ya, mate.
I don't know how to turn this fucking thing off. It's an apple. Work it out. Hold on.
So there's also a wider issue that isn't considered. So right now, we've got this situation with the umpires, and maybe it is a piss take behind the scenes. Maybe they all have a bit of a laugh about whatever's going on in AFL House. Right now, we've had 6 years of poor umpiring, and the AFL wants its branding, respect the umpires, all this stuff, right? They are currently developing a generation of Richmond supporters that will not respect the umpires, and this will only get worse. And the genie will be out of the bottle. And when they go to the club, if it's not Benny Galhoven, supporters need to talk, whatever. Mate, there's no way. The kids that are 10 and 15 now sitting in these crowds, and we're getting reamed, and that crowd on for us Sunday, that was the most hostile crowd I've sat in there towards umpiring in years. If there was venom in that ground. And if that's what's going to start going on and get worse, this is a rod that the AFL is making for its own back, right? Because at the end of the day, we're turning up. I drive 2 hours expecting a fair contest. That's all we're asking. Not asking for the win. I'm expecting an evenly adjudicated contest. Nothing more harder than that. So now you look at it and going, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do rather than travel 2 hours. And in that 2 hours, you stop, you get some food along the way, you go into town. So small businesses in Melbourne prosper. It's a form of tourism. You come in, you do your thing, you go out. Now you go, well, you know what? I'll pay for KO. Fuck it. I'll stay home. I won't go anywhere. I'll watch it. If the game's shit, I can turn off. I can do other things. I'll always keep my membership for the club. I won't penalise the club. That's the unfair thing to do. However, everything else around it, you go, well, what's the point? Why would I sit in the Monash car park stress syndicate there and all that other crap that goes with it. So there's a wider thing that they haven't quite figured out yet, the AFL and whoever else is doing this, and it is coming, and it is coming to Raider Knots, and they won't be able to wind this shit back very, very shortly if they don't change.
Now, before I throw to you, Grok, I just want to tie into the Benny Gale piece that you mentioned. Now, I won't mention who sent this to me because I don't want to throw anyone under the bus. And I'll use the words allegedly because it's obviously that until we get more concrete information otherwise. But this was sent through to me. Interesting to be told this morning that members of Coterie Groups, the President's Men, Premiership Circle and 3121, all approached Gale yesterday and asked for his immediate intervention to call a meeting with the AFL regarding umpiring departments, consistent appalling bias vendetta against us. Yesterday was the final straw, and the meeting will allegedly take place sometime this week. And obviously goes on that the AFL are obviously not huge fans of Gale and or us, and it's just been going on for years. But so now you're getting to the point where it's people with substantial, I suppose, money and say within the club are now seeing it as well and are fed up too. And like you said, CB, it's becoming club-wide, like supporters from all levels. And Grok, I think we even saw an Essendon supporter come out and say, don't like Richmond, don't care for him, but Jesus, that was rubbish.
Yeah, absolutely. And we all know big footy can be an absolute cesspit, especially on the main board in
Richmond. Sorry, Grok. Sorry.
Yeah, in Richmond match threads on the main board, you often get like opposition flogs coming in, and anything negative Richmond does or anything that a Richmond poster posts, they'll denigrate. They'll just go off. Quite a few times on the weekend, you had neutral supporters coming in and saying Richmond are getting reamed. Richmond are getting absolutely, you know, raped by the umpires. And it's again, yes, we have a sloppy tackle technique. We give away a lot of free kicks in that regard, but I know most Richmond supporters have no issue with the free kicks we give away. 9 times out of 10, they are there. What we don't agree with is the difference in interpretation. Let's take a look at that 50-meter, you know, penalty that Thompson Dow gave away. What is the difference there between the Chad Warner non-50-meter penalty against Sydney a couple of years ago? They came out and they played the common sense rule that he thought the game was over. Well, why was that not applied to Thompson Dow, who common sense might say he hears the siren, he hears a whistle, he assumes that the game's over, looks at the umpire with his hand in the air, thinks that he's signalling the game, so drops the ball. Like, why was common sense not implemented there? And this whole four umpire thing was brought in to, you know, to fix the umpiring so that they weren't missing blatantly obvious calls. If anything, since the four umpires have come in, the interpretations and the umpiring has gotten even worse. And I'm tired of saying this week in, week out, but in what other universe, what other job can you do poor performance after poor performance after poor performance and still, you know, have a job where you can't be criticised for poor performances? I want the AFL to come out and list what the KPIs are for umpires. What are their standards? So we as fans know. Be blatantly clear about it. Let us know what the expectations are for the umpires in their day-to-day duties. Because I don't know what their job is anymore. I don't know what's expected of them, because we'd expect them to judge a game fairly for both sides. If you see a free kick, you pay it. You don't guess. If it's not there, let the play go. But we always seem to be on the wrong end of either soft calls or 50-50s. They never, ever go our way. And the one or two times that we actually do get a call go our way, everyone has a meltdown. But they ignore the 98 examples previously of where it didn't go our way. And this is what absolutely shits me. They need to start bringing back an actual get the umpiring boss, have a press conference at the end of the week to explain some of the decisions, like they used to do on the AFL.com, where they had whoever it was come in and discuss some some contentious calls throughout the round, didn't explain the reasoning behind it. Nowadays, we've got people flooding to Twitter asking, has the umpire stuffed up, you know, and identifying examples there. It's just absolutely ridiculous. And the worst thing that the AFL have done is come out and said that you cannot criticise the umpires. They're protecting poor performance, and as long as it's being protected, it's going to happen. There's no repercussions for it.
Grok, who's Laura Kane?
Fuck knows, honestly. Like, she's one of these.
So John Ralph. Yeah. So John Ralph comes out and says, no love for Tiger fans from Laura Kane, who only spoke about Liam Baker tackle and said it was a legal Dockers disposal, not holding the ball. So she's obviously someone. So what it tells me is she's nothing but a stooge hack.
Yep.
So she's just some lappy lapdog, and she's just toeing the line. Couldn't possibly be critical of anything. So that just tells you the AFL. They just get that big rug, sweep it under the rug, and you move on to the next thing. Or they'll pick a topic or some shit to try and distract us. But they can cram it up their ass, mate. Journey's out of a bottle.
Another thing that shits me is with our tackles. Whenever we get a tackle and the player's on the ground, if we come in from the head that way, we always give away a high free kick. Baker, McIntosh, and Pickett are the three worst at that, coming in from the head side and giving away free kick. It never happens to opposition. If we're down and they come in from the head, we never get a free kick for that, ever. It's just absolutely ridiculous.
Well, I mean, if nothing else, I think there's going to be a lot of eyes on our game versus the Bulldogs this week for a lot of reasons, I think. Number one, if the Bulldogs drop this game, Beveridge could get the arse almost straight away. But I think now enough data is out there that I think I even made a post about what the Bulldogs' average free kicks against have been for their season so far. So it'll be interesting to see what the end result of that is. And again, it's not the ones we give away, because I largely agree with a lot of it. But when there's the exact same or worse infringements taking place, that's the frustrating piece. And, you know, to Teague's point, he flagged it. For those who have listened since the start, he flagged that in 2017, 2018. And, you know, we kind of got pegged as being, are you just being, you know, Richmond Nuffies, get your rose-coloured glasses off. And to be fair, when you're only looking at maybe one season's worth of data, you're probably right. You can maybe call it that. But now we're getting on to 6-7 years of data where the same thing is happening week in, week out, and it's only now coming to light. So it's going to be fascinating to see how this all plays out.
Absolutely.
Adzi just raised a point. He said someone raised a thing about sports bet or advertising doing unders and overs on gambling. That was me on Twitter that raised that. And I bet you, if sports bet people, you're listening, do us a favour. On Richmond games, put an extra leg in there where we can try and guess the free kick count. Put some odds on it. And I bet you, if we start betting on corruption, on shit umpiring, I bet you it'll get stamped out real quick.
Yep.
The AFL won't like that.
100%. And, like, you know, we touched on it, you know, prior to the round one game, Michaels, where I posed the question, is it our game plan or is it the coach? You know, or is it the club? Which one do they hate more? Well, I think the fact that Collingwood play a very similar game style to what we played when we were successful. Gold Coast are playing the dimmer ball. They're playing exactly the same way that we did. But they're you know, positive in the free kick count this year already. Like, how is it the game plan? It's obviously that's now been dispelled, that the game plan is conducive to giving away free kicks, because the two sides that are running it as close to what we did when we were successful have positive free kick differentials.
It just doesn't – there's just too much not adding up. So – but look, it's been brought to light. And like I post on Big Footy, I didn't make a public post about this, but I suppose in some ways mildly apologise for the flood of tweets this morning, replying to different things I was seeing about the free kick count. But it wasn't to flood people's feeds intentionally. It was more just about that if the mainstream media are going to finally cotton onto this, then let's actually ram the point home that it's not right. It is... the data is there. It's not made up fans trying to be nuffies and making shit up. It's factual data. And if you want to take a look at it, here are all the numbers, and just keep ramming it home. So And I think to a few people's point, that that scuffle that kind of boiled over at the end, I felt the Freo game is maybe the first time I saw a bit of the players' frustration with it as well. And there's going to come a point, and CB, I know we were talking today, that it's a momentum killer. Like, the guys try and get on a bit of a roll, and it just comes to a screaming halt. And I can't imagine how infuriating that must be as a player.
We are getting umpired out of games. We are actually getting umpired out of games. There's always one quarter in a game where we just literally get nothing, and it was the second quarter against Fremantle. If you look at the stats between free kick quarters from the quarter time, second, third, the second quarter we got absolutely blitzed out of the game, and it's just blatant cheating. Now, I'll say this too. Carlton supporters, if there's any of you dickheads watching this, shut your mouths. You've been lippy and talking shit. You're sitting seventh or eighth. Collingwood's sitting at ninth. They're coming. You got Melbourne this weekend. You're a tough game. You'll be out of the eight in 2 weeks, you pack of flogs. So keep talking shit about us, but you'll be in the back half with us in 2 weeks' time. Enjoy.
And I just want to, while we're on the topic of Carlton quickly, I do want to thank everyone on Twitter for the kind words when they see our tweets saying, oh, we're going to be live tonight. And, you know, the words about, thanks for jumping on, guys. We appreciate it. Because we understand that for all of you watching and listening, this is a bit of a therapy thing as well when we're not going so flash. But we do turn up week after week and do the pod no matter what, unlike another team's pod who maybe hadn't done that from time to time. So we will always be here to you can vent, you can do whatever you want. But we appreciate the kind words.
And while we're on the topic of opposition supporters, for those of you who are sick of Richmond supporters whinging about this umpiring agenda, well, guess what? Courtesy of CB, as you can see, the tinfoil hats are out. Stop with the comments now.
Tell you what, if we could brand these, I'd set up a merch tent outside a few of the gates at the G. We'd sell a shitload of these, I reckon. We would
sell the shittest hanky hat. The shittest hanky hat. I literally put no effort into this. I'm a bit disappointed, but look, I'll get better next time if I need it less.
I'll admit, Lauren made mine last minute. I wasn't capable enough to do it because mine's actually vinyl. I ran a tin foil. I think Grox BOG here with the hat.
I made mine literally 3 minutes before
yeah, you we did. Yeah.
So I've got the rolls sitting here under my table. So
RFC Centre nailed it. Straight on. Can I say this as well? Longmuir complaining about umpiring and the treatment of Jai Amiss. Cram that shit up your ass. We watched Matthew Richardson be a human mobile for 20 years of his football career, and Jack Riewoldt for about 15 of his. If Jack Riewoldt and Tom Lynch got the free kicks that the Carlton boys got, holy shit. I don't want to hear that.
Yeah. If Jack and Richo got the treatment that Kernow and McKay get, they would have kicked 1,000.
Yep. Oh, easily. Anyway, look, we could dedicate literally an entire show. I know we maybe semi have, but, and I do want to say that on a weekly basis, we obviously see all the same shit that you guys all see. We have honestly made conscious decisions to not talk about the umpiring stuff too much over the years because we don't want it to seem like an attack and that we're complaining. But it's gotten to a point now where it's actually now factual data and everyone's latching onto it. So we felt we'd give it a bit more airtime tonight to discuss it because we're not going to treat everyone like mugs if it's not happening. We see it, you see it, they all see it. So we thought, let's have a genuine discussion about it, given that it's now all of a sudden very topical. In terms of the stubby holder, someone asked, I didn't want to push ahead while Tom Lynch was out for about 10 weeks because that wouldn't have worked out too well. So we'll wait to see if he gets back on the park. Otherwise, the other design idea was if all of us, Jen, sense a mug shot through, we can put our own faces on the stubby holder and the logo. So maybe we'll go down that path. It'd be timeless.
Oh, by Grox. He almost looks like a borderline Luke Combs sort of. You know, you could get it.
Maybe we can
put a truck cap on. Sensational.
We can do a tinfoil hat version. We'll send through screenshots of us wearing the tinfoil hat.
I've now got a marketing opportunity here on tinfoil hat.
Step aside Dimmer's visor. This is now where it's at.
I like someone suggesting we should all wear these to the Bulldogs game.
I swear, if I see people in the crowd wearing tinfoil hats, we are claiming this 110% as our initiative. tinfoil robes, that would be uncomfortable. Jesus, I don't think
that'd be so hot.
You'd be sweating.
You lose weight as well. It doubles up as a weight loss bit of material.
Right, let's get into it. Come on, boys. Let's get into it.
Let's push on about the game at hand this week. versus the Bulldogs, who on paper, their side's pretty good on paper, but when Bevo's got the paper, he's dropping Caleb Daniel, he's dropping Riley Sanders, he's doing all kinds of weird shit. So they're a little bit all over the shop. And in some ways, they're kind of right for the picking, but I'm not sure if we'll have the full firepower to do it. But looking at our ins and outs quickly, it sounds like that Bolter should almost certainly be back in. Are we all in agreement there that he's going to be back?
Yeah.
Kick.
Yes. And I did read somewhere that, I don't know if it's this week or next week, but apparently Prestia, whenever he's ready, will be straight back in. Now, was that for this game or was that next?
Well, Prestia, Bolter and Bauer were all listed as 1 week last week prior to the game. So they should be available for selection this week. Whether or not we bring them all in or if we bring Bolter in and have Prestia and Bauer go through the VFL, who knows? But Bolter definitely back 100%. I think Prestia with his body, the fact that he can't get through a game returning at AFL level without it breaking down, I think he comes through the VFL. He has to.
I mean, Bolter back CB instantaneously helps us tremendously with the ball going forward. And I want to be fair to McKelty LaFau. I think he's done a great job, all things considered, playing as the number one forward in a lot of cases. So he's going to benefit tremendously having Noah Bolter alongside him.
Well, so here's the interesting. So we're talking about my boy. I'm claiming him, LaFau. I will say this: I would like to see McAuliffe come in as well. I'd like to. But having said that, I want to make sure Sonzi, Dow, all those guys stay in. So I don't know how they engineer it, but also I think. It's almost time. Give Crayfish has had two. He's clunked a few grabs, but I think he got a bit of a knock late in the game. Do we finally give Samson Ryan a go? So you're going with Bolter, Ryan, LaFau as your three tall forwards. Do you think that works, boys?
I like it. I think so. I think Naismith, while he's okay in a ruck, doesn't really give us anything forward, and that's where we missed it on the weekend. I think Ryan was probably a better matchup for us forward than what Naismith was. And I think at this point, Ryan should be the one that's in over Naismith.
The other reason why that will actually work, and it's situational, is the Dog's second ruck being Sam Darcy.
Yes.
Ryan's got experience and maybe even body size. So he's not going to get flung aside, whereas against the other experienced rucks, he would have got brushed aside a little bit too easily. And look, I'll admit, I was one who wanted Naismith ahead of Ryan for multiple positional reasons, but the forward part hasn't worked out. So I think Ryan for this game is actually ideal.
Yeah. So we agree. So we would like to see, we're all agreeing, Bolter, Ryan, Prestia, McAuliffe minimum. So we're calling for four changes, yeah?
Well, who goes out? Because no one got injured.
K-Mac?
Is that two games as sub from K-Mac? So it's probably as part of that cycle where you try and get a full game in. So, yeah, that's maybe one.
I would go those two. Maybe Seth Campbell does need a spell. And depending on how you do your matchups, I don't know whether...
Banks.
Will you give Dylan Grimes a spell?
Now, a name, and I apologise if I've dropped you in inadvertently, Nick, but Nick mentioned that he heard that Steely could be a sneaky chance.
Well, he was very close for round one, but then all of a sudden it's dropped off. But he had a very good preseason, and he's had some up and down games at VFL level. But again, he's quick, he pressures, he runs and chases. So I don't see why him coming in for someone like Banks or Mansell or even Campbell couldn't be a chance.
Now, Libba out for the Dogs is a big out, and I do hope he comes okay, because getting a couple of head knocks like that in quick succession is not good for anyone. So we definitely want to wish Libba the best and make sure he gets back playing footy soon. And as he suggested earlier, if Bevo could make Norton sub or Bontempelli sub, that'd be pretty handy as well for us. But how are we going to beat him? I mean, English is obviously a pretty handy ruckman. Treloar's had a very good month of football, racking up a lot of the ball. The Bont. Bailey Dale's actually had a really good couple of games since not being sub. He's become a really good attacking weapon for them. And they've got obviously Hugo Hagen up front, Norton up front, Darcy drifts forward. I think pound for pound, our defence might cope okay, like it seems to do most week. It's just about how much can we limit the ball going in there.
It's midfield. Yeah. It comes down to midfield.
Defensive transition. That's all it is. We're not going to be able to win the ball. I mean, our three best ball winning mids are out. I mean, if Prestia comes back in, that makes two of them. But if we can't win the ball, we need to limit the damage that the opposition can do when they inevitably win it. And we haven't been able to do that. And on the weekend against Freo, it was our lowest pressure game in 5 years in terms of like overall game. It was only 162, where our average is 175. So we just need to build pressure from the midfield. That's where it's going to be won or lost for us, is the midfield battle.
Do you reckon that we're going to, if Coulthard comes in, sorry, McAuliffe, apologies. If McAuliffe comes in, is it going to be one of those ones where he sits on Bontempelli for the game to learn? Will this be one of those teachable moments where they're going to look at Bont and go, right, put a kid on, or Thompson Dale or McAuliffe, and go, right, stay with him and run with him the whole game and learn? Or do you go, he's too damaging, Pickett, tag him out?
I'd go Pickett straight away, only for the simple fact Pickett on the weekend didn't tag Sarong, yeah, which was a mistake in hindsight. And we saw what Pickett was like when he got the ball. His decision making is subpar now, and he's been very fumbly. Hasn't been as clean with the ball as he probably should be. So I think, given his deficiencies that are creeping into his game now, he can do less damage to us if he can actually be physical with Bont. And that's something that the Bont does struggle with a little bit, is players who can be physical with him.
Yeah, I'll just say this as a compliment. I'm actually loving our back six. Again, I thought Young was really, really good on the weekend. I thought Miller was really good on the weekend. Vlosten, those boys, like the back six are playing their ass off, brought into boys. They are playing their absolute nuts off. They're not the issue. The issue is our midfield and forward of the center. Now with Bolter, like I said, if we can bring Bolter and Ryan in and straighten that up a little bit, get a couple of big targets. Because the amount of times when we did get it forward to centre and we just didn't have a big target to aim at on the lead, and it just killed us, didn't it? Every time, yeah, you know, they could bring it to ground.
Luke Ryan got 39 touches, so I think that speaks for itself, doesn't it?
The one thing that annoys me is when our forwards push up, we'll take our tallest player will take a mark on the wing and then kick it high, and we'll have like Mansell on a 2-on-1 in the pocket, or MJ 2-on-1 against, like, you have Luke Ryan or Alex Pierce on the weekend. That's where we just need to be a little bit smarter with how we use the ball. If we've got no tall targets up forward, move the ball around the 50 until our forwards get back. It's just simple things that we're not doing.
Yeah.
A few people have asked, and I forgot to mention earlier, but what did we think of seeing Dan Rioli drift forward again?
Yeah, why not?
I mean, yeah, he's clean with the ball, kicks relatively straight, which is something that we're struggling with at the moment. Our accuracy in front of goal has been woeful this year. So if we can get people who are clean and can actually hit the scoreboard more often than they miss, we'll be right.
And Sonzi has had some more centre bounces as well, which I know we're all calling for. Like, if you're going to leave Sonzi in, don't play him as a half forward. Actually give him the time and the guts where he does his best work. So it was nice to see him getting a bit more of it.
The one guy I wanted to see have a run in the middle was just even for a 5-minute burst was Morris Rioli Jr. Just to mix it up, that bit of an explosive burst. But it didn't happen.
But speaking of MJ, he's been very, very good the last 4 weeks.
He seems a lot more confidence, doesn't he, to like take the game on. He's actually, getting involved.
Apparently that comes down to Uze, who had sat down with him at the start of the year and just said, I want you to play your game. Don't worry about, sticking to structure, being defensive. If you want to get the ball, just see ball, get ball, see man, tackle man sort of thing. So he's been given that free license, apparently, to roam, which is paying dividends. When he's gone through the middle, he's been super clean, great at finding space. The only knock on him is his finishing. But if he's kicking two goals a game because of his work rate, power to him.
On Uze, can I just say too, all the mail I'm hearing on Uze is the players love him.
Oh, that's
good. He's getting some serious raps and love from the playing group.
That's good to hear. That's what you want. And yeah, he can only do so much with what he's got at the moment. But yeah, hopefully that can keep happening. And as we get some more troops back, hopefully we can see some better results. All right, as my dog's just scratching away at the floor there, as we wrap up, can we get a final tip, including margin, for this one? Send them through as well, and chat will pop a few up. Grok, who's winning and by how much? Can we be a coach killer?
I'd like to think so, but I don't think we will. I just hope that Norton doesn't pull out a 10-goal performance against us. Bastard always tears us apart. I reckon dogs by 24.
CB?
You know what? We're going to lose the free kick count 24 to 15, and we're going to win by 11 points.
We'll take that. I wouldn't mind that. Look, with Noel Bolter back, I'll stick strong with the Tigers. I'll say we'll get up by 13, and Beveridge will be gone by Monday. We'll go for the double because he's all over the shop this year. But look, the Dogs, when they turn on, are a quality side, unfortunately. But hopefully just this little extra bit of structure when we get the ball forward to centre could be the spark we need to hopefully course correct stuff. But we will, have to just wait and see, I guess. But thank you. Oh, Paul, I truly hope you're wrong. Bevo to be sacked on Thursday and they come out and beat us. You're probably not far from it there. They start saying he's got the support of the board, we're cooked.
Yeah. I was going to say the president came out today and said that they've backed him in. So guaranteed he's gone within 2 weeks. Yeah.
Matter of time.
That's not a good sign. And the board supports you. You're Gonski. So anyway, hi, thank you, gents, for jumping on tonight. Thank you as well to Tix for jumping on earlier for the first part of the show. Good to have him back on. And just more importantly, good to hear that he's feeling better and progressing with the rehab side of things. So as always, he's welcome back anytime he's free to come on. Thank you to everyone for tuning in. I think we're at like 740 live viewers at the moment. So massive shout out to everyone for tuning in. Make sure you give us a like and follow on YouTube, on Twitter, Facebook, wherever you see us. And I hope you found the tinfoil hat stuff at least mildly amusing. It was a very good wardrobe idea from CB. It's a serious issue, but you know, if we're going to get called tinfoil hatters, then we may as well represent. And yeah, keep an eye out outside gate foil. Have a stand set up ready to go. No, I won't. But thank you to everybody for tuning in. Thank you, gents, for joining us tonight. And hopefully we can jag a win sometime soon. Because they are having a crack. They're most definitely having a crack. So they just get a little bit tired, the young Cubs. But let's see if we can pull the wool over the Dogs and get a W. And we will be back next Monday. Until then, go Tigers.
Go Tigers.